Well, when I go home to my parents' house, especially now it seems, my mom is the person who likes to collect things. And so, and particularly she likes to collect like newspapers and magazines and those sorts of things. And so there's a lot of them around. And I get very tempted when I'm there to just kind of put them all in bags and put them in the recycling. And sometimes I do that, try to just some of them so she doesn't notice. But anyway, I bring that up as a cause. When we hear about the cleansing of the temple, it's not in that sense where we're just getting all that stuff out of here. I mean, yes, Jesus is saying we shouldn't make the temple a marketplace. He does say that. But it's not just simply a cleansing of the temple. This is really meant to be a sign. You know, this happens in John. It happens in the beginning of his ministry. This is where he's kind of setting the stage. This is a new thing that I'm calling you to do. And yet this cleansing of the temple is not simply a Puritan idea where we destroy the fun, the luxuries, the leisure of our lives. We're not meant to just cleanse ourselves of those things either. Because it is, I think Jesus is telling us, this is not just a physical cleansing, it's a spiritual cleansing also. So what in my life needs to be reordered? What in my life needs to be put under the authority of God? And can I use the fun things, the luxurious things, the leisure times in my life, can I put them to a prudent use, properly ordered, and in that way make them helpful for me? So what do I need to cut out? That's a good question. What are the things that distract me from giving myself to God? What are the things that I give my time to that maybe I need to pull back from and give myself more fully to other things? You know, when I was in college, I remember lots of things. But one of the things I remember is we would do this camping trip every year. A bunch of my friends, we'd get together and we'd go camping. Another thing that I would do from time to time was go on retreats. And I remember how powerful those were. And I wonder if we spent more time doing those kind of things, you know, going out into nature or going on a retreat where we're kind of pulling away from our day-to-day busy lives, if that would help us. You know, I could have spent those hours or those weekends that we went on those trips, I could have spent them, you know, playing video games with my friends or doing homework or movie marathons, you know, the things you do when you're in college. And I did those too, but I wonder if I would spend more time with these other things, maybe that time would be more memorable. So cleansing our lives of those things that kind of are just a distraction from what we're really meant to enter into. Properly ordering it. So the earthly goods that we have, the fun things that we do, our hobbies, our sports maybe, all the things that we like to engage in, we should evaluate them and say, is this really help me to know God? Does this help me to serve God? You know, leisure can, right? If we leisure well in our life, we can better come prepared to meet the Lord or be prepared to meet the needs of our daily lives, serving in our workplace, serving in our family, these sorts of things. It's important that we do have those times of recreation in a healthy way. But recognizing, again, do I properly order them, or is something kind of out of whack a little bit? Do I give too much time to this one thing or these other things? So they should be subordinated under God and family and really our call to holiness. So do I put them at the service of these eternal goods? That's a question we should ask ourselves. Cleansing our lives or properly ordered in them. And I think, too, we also have to have mercy on ourselves. You know, sometimes we come into Lent and we have all these goals, right? Like, by the end of Lent, I'm going to be a saint. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have everything in order, and it's going to be great, and I'm going to be a new person. And yes, we should be optimistic when we can. Yeah, we can, by God's grace, we can make steps. But we also have to have mercy on ourselves that it's a process, right? Life is a process, day by day. You know, in baseball, they say a base hit. Just get a base hit. A string of those is a lot better than trying to swing for the fences every time. So we gotta be patient. We gotta remember again, last week we talked about hope. We gotta have hope that if I just make one small step today, I'll get there. I'll get there eventually. So don't beat ourselves up if we look at our temple, our inner temple. You know, St. Paul talks about this idea, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Look at ourselves, our lives, and don't get bent out of shape if we look in there and say, gosh, there's a lot of stuff in here that needs to be reordered or thrown out or put aside. But be patient. Just one thing at a time, one little thing at a time, and we'll get there. So maybe think about, Jesus, what do I need to do, or what do I need to let go of in my life? Is there something you're asking me during this Lent, during this Mass, during these days, that you put on my heart, that you want me to address in my life? What is that one thing, if there was one thing? So maybe think about that during this Mass. Maybe ponder that, pray about that this week. And then we might ponder also, how do we cleanse our temple? How do we put our house in order? Well, our first reading, the Ten Commandments, is maybe a good place to start. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about the Ten Commandments are really just the natural law, which is the law that's written on our hearts. So they're just, it's kind of putting the words, those things that we just know by nature. The natural law is the instinct that we have to do what is right. So do I make idols of different things? So I give first place to something that's, again, out of order. A lot of times that it's that kind of order in our lives. These things aren't necessarily bad. I mean, there are evil things, and we want to avoid those, but there are a lot of good things that are good in themselves, but we just maybe have them in the wrong place, and they need to be switched around, and then we can get it right. So do I make idols? Do I speak in a way that honors God, that honors my neighbors, that honors the Lord in my speech? Do I do that? Am I too casual, perhaps, or maybe just not attentive to what I say? Do I take time for the Sabbath? You know, we have a wonderful opportunity every week to come and have this time of rest. And certainly, there are exceptions. Some people have to work on Sunday, and that's just the reality. But do I have time? Do I try to make Sunday feel different than any other day of the week? Or, you know, maybe Saturday night. If I can't do Sunday, can I do Saturday night? Make it a time of rest, of recreation that's healthy. Time for family, I would say. That would be a wonderful thing to do. Fourth commandment, do I honor my parents? Do I honor my children, my siblings, my family? Really kind of, is my family in harmony with what God would want for it? That's a good thing for us to reflect on. Fifth commandment, don't kill. You know, probably, hopefully, that's not a big problem for us, but a question to ask is, do I bring life to others? Or does my presence pull life away? What does my presence bring to a conversation or to a gathering? Do I bring life to others, or do I tend to kind of just bring it all into myself? Sixth commandment, don't commit adultery. You know, our world is so full of different ways that our human sexuality and our the gift of our body is kind of abused. Do I live in such a way that I give glory to this gift that God has given? When whatever my vocation is, am I honoring God in my body, in the way that I look at other people, in the way that I honor my spouse, and so forth? Seven, do I steal? Well, again, you know, maybe this is a problem, maybe not, but do I use the gifts that God has given to me in a proper way? Do I properly order them? Do I use the things that have been given to me or borrowed to me by another, perhaps, and use them and safeguard them as if they were my own? Do I have that awareness? Eighth, do I lie? You know, telling the truth, you know, just not just in what I say, but is my life telling the truth? Am I a person of integrity? Does everything that I live, does it all kind of go together? Am I one person here and another person there? You know, there's lots of ways you can take these Ten Commandments. So thinking about them is good. Ninth and Tenth Commandment, don't covet. So do I look at the world and only see the things that I don't have? Or do I look at the world and see the gifts that God has given to others and praise God that they have this gift, that they've been received this thing? And maybe they use it to honor God and so forth. There's certainly lots of ways you can reflect on the commandments. But again, it's all going down to that natural law. What has God put on our hearts? Let's take time to reflect on that. So I think inviting God, in a sense, to reset anything in us that's a little out of whack or out of order, inviting the Lord to speak to us. And then there's that line in the Gospel today about zeal. Do we have that zeal for God? Great energy, you might say this, energy to follow what God has given. Maybe you've heard of the saint, St. Anthony of the Desert. He was a saint back, you know, way back in the early church. And his conversion was pretty quick. He had this zeal for God. He heard one day, he came into Mass, and they were reading the scripture passage about the rich young man, you know, where Jesus says, go and sell all that you have. He heard that, and then he responded with that zeal, yes, I will do that. So he sold everything he had and went and served the poor and went and lived this solitary life of serving others and helping others grow in their spiritual life. So do we have that zeal to follow where Jesus is telling us to go? Sometimes I think we lack that zeal and we get stuck, right? We see what needs to be done or what God is asking, you know, hey, can you work on this? Can you put that aside? Can you put more priority here in what I'm asking of you? And instead we kind of say, well, maybe, or well, someday, you know, okay, maybe that's where we're at. But pray for that zeal to respond with quick energy, great energy to go and, you know, give everything over to the Lord. And I think sometimes why we hesitate is because we're fearful of what am I going to lose, Jesus? If I trust you with everything, what's that going to mean for me? What is it going to mean if I give you my life? If I, in a sense, share my possessions with you and offer that all to you, what is that going to mean for me? So, you know, pray about that. Pray for that zeal and also that fearlessness to trust in God, that He will provide, that He will show us what is most needed. So, I think the longer we wait on these things, the longer we kind of let the house or the temple, in a sense, lie cluttered, the more difficult it is to really enter into that process. I know when I go home, the more stuff I see, the more it does become a distraction for me. I just kind of have to put it in my back of mind, okay, that's all right. Someday I'll probably have the same problem because, you know, like parent, like child, right? That's how it goes. So right now it drives me crazy, but do we have that willingness, though, to enter in, to ask the Lord into our lives, to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our lives, and put them in order? Let's ask the Lord to help us with that this day. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.